This evening we are going to learn about a king by the name of Nadab. Now, he reigned only for 2 years, and very little is mentioned about him. But do you know there was another person by the name of Nadab in the scriptures? That was the son of Aaron. Now, this person this evening was the king. He was the son of King Jeroboam. And you remember the nation was divided, northern kingdom, southern kingdom, and Jeroboam the first became the king of this northern kingdom, and his son Nadab became the second king. Now, he reigned only for 2 years, two short years. Why? We will learn this evening. The scripture tells us that like his father, he worshipped the false idols that his father had set up. Remember when the nation was divided, they said instead of going to Jerusalem, we'll worship here. And as a result, they set up their own idols and shrines. And that actually led the people of Israel away. And King Jeroboam was responsible for that. And his name features in this notoriety right throughout, that he was the one of the northern kingdom who led the children of Israel away. So like his father, like father, like son, he worshipped these idols, but his life was cut short because he was assassinated. And all these things were also prophesied, that this is what will happen. So think for a moment, you are in the, become the king. God has also prophesied that you are going to be killed. Now, what would you do in that scenario? Would you say, okay, what will be, so what's the point of doing anything? Or would you say, hey, if my life is going to be short, if my life is going to be, over soon, let me make the maximum use of it. Let me change my life so that this short life that I have, I will still do something good from that. I hope that's your response, because none of us knows how long we would live. So the years that God has given to us, how long, how short, our desire must be to say, make the maximum use of the time that God has given to us. Nadab, he was given this time, but he didn't really use it properly. And as a result, the scripture tells us that he was assassinated by the next guy who came in, Baasha. And not only did he assassinate him, but he killed all of his relatives, which was also prophesied. Okay. Now, sometimes when you read about these things like this, they say, oh, it is all pre-programmed, So what can a man do? Does man have any free will of his own if God had already decided that this is what will happen? No, it is not like that. It is, from God's perspective, he has given us a glimpse, but it is no way related with, you're forced to do it. Opportunities definitely are there when we have the free will that God has given to us. Couple of quick facts about Nadab. His father was King Jeroboam the first. He reigned from 910. King Nadab reigned from 910 BC to 909 BC. He was the second king of the kingdom of Israel. And his successor was a person by the name of Baasha, who was the chief of his military staff, who assassinated him. Now, King Nadab was an evil king. He was from the tribe of Ephraim. His name itself meant liberal. So, here's a guy whose name means liberal. Here's a guy who has been told by God that this is what is going to happen. Here's a person who has seen the hand of God teaching, different lessons, even to his father, and even to his relatives on the other side. But still, he has not learned any lessons whatsoever. And that's a very tragic lesson that we can learn from Nadab, and also a warning, that God gives us opportunities to change. God shows us through other lives who have been punished for their sin maybe, who are suffering for the wrong that they have done, so that we don't do the same thing again. And remember, all these things that are mentioned in the Old Testament of all these kings and all these individuals, New Testament tells us very plainly, hey, these are all examples that you don't do those things that they did. So even today when we are learning about Nadab, it is like a warning a lesson. He said, don't be like Nadab. This is how he ended up. So don't end up like him. Now, when you're thinking about the fall of Nadab, there was an old saying in Israel, in Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 2, we read, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. In other words, basically it means the impact of the wrong of a father. The father ate sour grapes, you know, and not only was he affected, not only his teeth were affected, you know, his children's teeth were also affected. In other words, there is a passing on of from a generation to the next of the problems that were there in the previous generation if it was not corrected. Now, if you notice also, we have a classic example of that in the whole lineage of Abraham's line, isn't it? Abraham did not get telling lies corrected. Same thing happened with his son Isaac. Same thing happened with this, Isaac's sons as well. Esau and Jacob, you have that example. So, an important lesson of how much we should be careful of our life, because it is being passed on. The wrong can be passed on. The right can also be having that effect of being passed on to the next generation. So it's important. It's not just our life that we have to be bothered about it. Some people think of it, it's my life, I'll do what I want to do. No, you have a family, you have children, then you are also equally responsible to recognize this truth, that how you live makes an impact for the next generation as well. So it all started off with his father Jeroboam. When Jeroboam became king, he founded a new state religion, which is the worship of two golden calves. And then he built shrines on hilltops where people could offer sacrifices to these idols. And for these sins, God punished Jeroboam. Jeroboam led the whole nation into idolatry and apostasy. And God pronounced a judgment. What is the judgment? We read about this in 1 Kings chapter 14. Verses 10 and 11. He pronounced the judgment through the prophet Ahijah. Remember last time we learned about Abijah? This is the prophet Ahijah. And this is what the prophet said. Therefore, behold, I will bring disaster on the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel, bond and free. I will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as one takes away refuse until it is all gone. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Jeroboam and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whatever or whoever dies in the field, for the Lord has spoken. See the punishment that came upon Jeroboam for leading the nation into idolatry and apostasy. The scripture says the Lord will cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel. In other words, God said, all your lineage, all the male who would naturally would have ascended to the throne, they would all be killed. You remember, for David's side, because he was a man after God's own heart, yes, he did sin, but his heart was right with God. God says, I will make sure that, from your line, it will continue. And that was a promise that was given to David. And he, next King Solomon, God also told him the same thing. But when he refused, he find the nation was divided, and then you have this northern kingdom and this southern kingdom. So God gave them the prophecy, hey, this is a warning. If you don't respond, this is what is going to happen to your succeeding generation. Now, this was definitely a scary judgment, isn't it? A judgment that was threatening the end of Jeroboam's dynasty and his entire family. God told this very specifically through the prophet. But did they respond? No. And God used Baasha, for this purpose of fulfilling that which God had prophesied. We'll come to it of how, he used Baasha. Now again, remember, it's not a question of being programmed. Baasha could not do anything about it. God had decided Baasha would kill, so he killed. No. It is a question of Baasha of his own free will. Hey, this is what I'm going to do. And God, knowing everything, used Baasha's act of his own to coordinate that which God had prophesied. So what are the lessons that we can learn from Nadab's life. You know, what are the lessons that we can learn from his life? He didn't have much of a godly heritage. You know, he didn't have much of a parent whom he could look up to and role model. Okay, and he became very much like his father. You know, and that is such an important lesson. You know, if Nadab's life can be condensed in a sentence, it would be like father, like son. You know. Now, sometimes, you know, we look at that like father, like son, and, you know, we say he bears the resemblance. Your son looks just like you. Now, that's an external resemblance. But when you say like father, like son, in good points, yes, it is good. You have, you know, passed on some good, you know, lessons to the next generation. But if it is like in Nadab's case, like father, like son. And if you notice, people do talk about it like that, isn't it? Father did all the wrong and the son, generations are doing the same thing. No. Only 7 verses are devoted to Nadab, and all that is necessary that the Lord wanted to teach to us is mentioned in just these verses. Majority of the verses also speaking about the prophecy that was given, you know, to Jeroboam of his lineage going to be destroyed. And only few verses are given especially to speak very particularly about Nadab himself. Someone has said that everyone is born an original but dies a copy. In other words, yes, we have genes transferred on to us from our parents and grandparents and things like that, you know. But what we see and what we hear, that is what we keep copying, you know. So we become copies of our parents. Now, I'm sure, you know, when the child learns its first lessons, and of speech, of walking, you know, they are hearing what we are saying, they are seeing what we are doing, and they copy that. That's the whole learning process, you know, of child's growth. Copy and learn. Copy and learn. But when they started out, it was a clean slate. It was a clean slate, you know. So everybody is born an original and dies a copy. If the original is good, you know, then the copy can also be good. But if the original was bad, you know, then copy is also going to be bad. What you put in as the original, that's what you're going to reproduce. How much we have to be careful in what we say and how we live, because people are watching us. Not just our children. Children, yes, we have a great responsibility. If you're married, you have children, yes, you have a great responsibility. It is not just to say, okay, you have kids, you know, but the responsibility of bringing them up, the responsibility of making sure that they are going on in their walk with God. Your lifestyle makes such a great, great impact. So we have to be careful. What is the legacy we are passing on to the next generation? Sadly, from Nadab we learn that the legacy from Jeroboam, his father, was very bad. You know, and he didn't equally pass on a good legacy to the next generation because he did exactly what his father did. He could have stopped all that he had, you know, his father had done, but he didn't do it. He continued in the ways of his father. That's what we learn. First of all, his attitude towards God. His attitude towards God. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 25 and 26 tells us this. And Nadab the son of Jeroboam began to reign over Israel in the second year of King Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. Now this is all that is said about Nadab in his attitude towards God. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. He walked the same way as his father walked, and he took the nation of Israel also into sin. The phrase "in his sin in which he made Israel sin" is repeated with variation regarding all the 19 rulers of the northern kingdom. In other words, you know, they followed their example and they led all the people into the same pattern that they were doing. This is so important for leadership, to recognize in leadership the importance of people are watching. And you may not have a position of leadership anywhere, but you know, everybody is called to be a leader. Somebody is looking at you, somebody is watching you, and somebody is emulating your example. So we need to be careful all the time. God definitely did hold Nadab responsible for his actions. He had the power to stop the false worship, but he did not. How sobering, how challenging it is as parents to realize that our children will first see God through us. That's the lens through which they see. And this is why oftentimes children who have grown up in broken homes, especially where the father has been not a good father, where the father has been an angry father, where the father has no showed no to the children whatsoever, and then you introduce God as our Father, they cannot understand that, because the visible understanding of a father is so different that they see that they can't understand how can God be the Father. And that is why a lot of broken homes find it very difficult to understand the fatherhood concept of God, because you know they see something else as a father. So the father's role is very important. And they often say that you know, if the father has you know, made a commitment, then definitely the children also make commitments. And if both the father as well as the mother have made a commitment, then much more chances. And also, if only the mother has made a commitment, sometimes if there are more boys in the family, the boys tend to think that, hey, religion is meant for women, not for men, because they don't see dad following the religion. This is so important. As men, we need to be careful of how we are living our lives before our children. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 tells us, train up a child that in the way that he should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. There's a book that is written called Children Are Like Wet Cement. You know, what do you mean by wet cement? Once the cement is wet, you put your hand into it and it solidifies when it becomes dry. Hey, it is permanent. You know, children are like wet cement. They're easily moldable. But the impact that has been put into their minds and lives when they are young stays for a long, long time. That's why the scripture says, train up a child. Put the right impressions upon your children when they are young. Then when they are old, they won't depart from it. But oftentimes, in the society that we live in, where parents are working, they don't have time for their children, you know, and children grow up just like that. They have seen no godly influences from the parents. And then, when they grow older, you know, when they get into their teens, their friends influence them more. And that's the time maybe you have settled up in your home and you say, hey, now I want to spend time with my children to set them on the right track. But at that time, it becomes too late because you are no longer the influencer. Their friends become the influencer. So if they have not got foundations, they get into wrong company, they can easily go astray. This is why Proverbs chapter 13 verse 24 says, he that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him corrects him. We are again living in a society which says, hey, don't correct your child. You know, don't correct. Let them pick up for themselves. Let them decide for themselves. No, they are in an age in which they have to be told what is right and wrong. They have to be impressed upon their minds what is the truth. Because we are living in a postmodern world which says there's no standard of truth. But as parents, we need to make sure that we are able to teach them, hey, this is right, this is wrong. And then once you put that into their minds, when they grow older, they'll be able to decide for themselves based on the principles that they have learned when they were young. This is why in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, the scripture tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. As parents, we need to be in the Lord, and then the children, when we are in the Lord, they are able to then see Christ's life in us, then they are willing to obey and respond. Nadab, if you notice, you know, obviously from his father's side, He didn't see anything good. He saw his father's adultery, he saw his father's lying, he saw his father's killing and stealing and outright rebellion against God and the prophets. And he said, hey, this is what a father is all about. This is what a king is all about. So when I became king, I'll do just like what my father did. And that is where he went astray. This is definitely the tragedy of Nadab. On the other hand, in the scriptures, we also learn about Moses, isn't it? Here was Moses, who was trained by his parents, godly parents. Opportunity was given by to them to bring up the child, lay the right foundation. So once the foundation was laid, and even though he was in Pharaoh's household, exposed to all the things of the world, when he grew up, he decided in his heart, I'm not going to be called the son of Pharaoh. I know my roots. And he decided to stand up. Why? Foundations were clear. Foundations were strong. If Moses' parents had not put that right foundation into him, then when he was taken into Egypt, he would have said, hey, this is what life is all about, you know, to be the next Pharaoh. But he recognized, hey, that's not it. Right foundation. So it's so very important, whether we are parents or whether we are leaders or whether we are individuals, we have to make sure that the next generation who's watching us, is following us, are able to have strong foundations. And we are living in a world which says, hey, there's no foundation, there's no right and wrong, you can do whatever you want to do. And the world is becoming crazier, weirder day by day. But you and I are called to make sure that we set right foundations, right principles, so that the next generation will definitely get back onto the right track or stay on the right track. So Nadab's framework of thinking, you know, of how a nation should be led, was put into place by what he saw in Jeroboam. Okay, now he had an option, you know, continue to follow that course or change the course. He could have made that decision, you know, but the scripture tells us he decided to walk in the way of his father. That was his decision. And when he decided to walk in the way of his father, that was his downfall. That was his action toward, his attitude towards God. What was his action towards people? What Nadab did about Dan and Bethel and the high places concerning the religious side of Nadab, okay, to make sure, okay, those places are there, they are worshipping idols, no problem, let's continue doing that. That was the part of the spiritual side. But what about his relationships with people? There's only one event that is mentioned about Nadab's life. In fact, you know, you can say there was not much deeds that were worth mentioning. There's only one thing that was mentioned, you know. Now, this is something that is so true, isn't it? When you take God out of the word good, what is left? It's only zero or O or zero, isn't it? You know, if God is not in the center, there's no good that a person can do, you know. A person can think, I'm doing so much of good. No, but God is not in the center. God is not in it. You know? If his way of life is without God, then no matter whatever good he's thinking he is doing, it is not really good. So the only recorded action, you know, of Nadab's reign is found in 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 27. And this is what we read. And Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, for Nadab and all Israel laid siege in Gibbethon. Now, only that much is mentioned about, you know, what he did, his actions. Now, what was this all about? What was Gibbethon? Gibbethon was a place that was given to the Levites. Okay, when the land was divided, you know, Gibbethon was given to the Levites. Now, the Levites, you know, were from the priestly line, and they, you know, when they were here in this kingdom, when they had the worship of idols and things like that, these guys said, hey, this is not what we are going to do. This is not what God has called us to do. So as a result, they had migrated from the northern kingdom to the southern kingdom. And you know, when there are no longer any people living in Gibbethon, it became occupied once again by the Philistines. Okay, this shows that the true priests did not approve of the worship of the golden calves and the new places of worship. They had no alternative but to go to the southern kingdom where they could worship according to God's pattern. So as a result, the Philistines were now in control of Gibbethon. So what does Nadab do? He says, I will get Gibbethon back. You know, he thought he will do something good. Philistines are occupying it, you know, I will take it back. Now, why were Philistines occupying it? Because the Levites are moved out for there. Why did they move out from there? Because there was wrong happening over here. But that was not what Nadab was thinking about. He thought, you know, I will get Gibbethon. I will throw out the Philistines. Now, how can you survive, or how can you get the victory when God is not in it? And that's something that Nadab did not really think about. You know. So that's the only good, seeming good, if you were to say, is mentioned about Nadab. He decided to take over Gibbethon, but in that process, you know, he lost his life because Baasha came and killed him. Okay. Now, the man who lives outside of God's will soon be forgotten, you know, will soon be forgotten. The legacy of a godly life continues forever. Today we will read about individuals 100 years ago, 200 years ago, you know, that legacy is continuing on. We learn about their lives, the impact that their lives have made. But think of all the sinful people. Maybe if that guy was a real notorious guy, we may think about the wrong that he did. But the others, soon forgotten, isn't it? But godly legacy continues for a long, long time. Thirdly, his assassination at the end. Verse 27 tells us, and Baasha the son of Ahijah, the house of Issachar, conspired against him and smote him at Gibbethon. Smote him at Gibbethon. Now he is the leader. Baasha is the head of the military there, and what he does is he overthrows him and he kills him. You know. He was a wicked man, Nadab, and he was killed by a wicked man, Baasha. And this is the tragedy of an individual who does wrong. Wicked people are the ones who help them to come up, and wicked people also are the ones who pull them down, isn't it? And you see that happening all around in society, you know. Here you came to power because of the wrong that you did, and soon or later you are also pulled down by those same people, you know. And that happens. That's a tragedy, okay? Because Nadab was worthless as a king, and soon his subordinate Baasha, who was, you know, his military captain, conspired against him, assassinated him, took over the kingdom, and not only just took over the kingdom, he quickly killed all of the household of Jeroboam. Now, this is how the prophecy was fulfilled, but this is how they did it in those days. Why did they kill all the family members so that none of that family will take control? You know, that was the pattern in those times, you know, and that's what Baasha did. And that is also a part of what God had already prophesied, where we read, you know, he did not leave any persons of Jeroboam alive until he had destroyed them, until he had destroyed them. And it says it was because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned, which he made Israel to sin, and because of his provocation with which he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. In other words, the scripture is teaching us, you know, why did this happen? You know, did it just happen just like that? No. God gives us a behind the scenes, as it were, about the events that were happening. We don't see the behind the scenes of what is happening today. But here in this case, the Lord gives us that behind the scenes. Why did this happen? God had said, because of what Jeroboam did, because of what Nadab did, this is what has happened. Now, this is a lesson. Why does God give us this glimpse? To help us to understand, hey, God does not allow evil to continue on. Evil will definitely be punished. It was a judgment on Nadab's life. It was not just an assassination. Today we may look at killings, we may look at assassinations and just see the outside, but there is a behind the scenes. Everything that is happening in this world is known to God. You know, He is not the one who is pulling, as it were, the puppets on a string. Everybody is doing what He is, you know, forcing them to do. No. But He is the one who is aware of what's happening, and He is the one who is in control. So we must recognize, you know, that nothing happens without God's knowledge. Nothing happens, you know, without His will. You know. So we need to not presume on the grace of God and think we can do whatever we want to. God won't bother about it. God does not know about it. He is well aware. He knew what Jeroboam was doing. He knew what Nadab was doing. He knew what Baasha was doing, you know, and judgment also comes upon them. Fourthly, what's the legacy that he has left behind? In 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse 31, we read, "Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel?" Now we say, okay, let's open the book of Chronicles and read something more about Nadab. But if we try and open the book of the Chronicles, 1 Chronicles or 2 Chronicles, you would find nothing about Nadab. Nothing about Nadab. Why? You know, because the book of Chronicles, you know, is following more, if you were to say, you know, of Judah's line, because that was God's line. You know, He kept that line safe. This line, this kingdom, northern kingdom, they had disobeyed, they had walked off, you know. And God said, hey, your line is over, as it were. Okay. So God chose to leave out the account of Nadab in the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel in the Bible. Okay. He didn't get Nadab's story mentioned. Now, there may be certain things that he did right, you know, but it was not really important from the scriptural viewpoint, you know, to mention anything, because the root itself was wrong. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 7 tells us, "The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." The memory of the just is blessed. We will always think about David, but the name of the wicked, we don't hear much about Jeroboam or Nadab and all that. But because we are studying these kings, we are able to learn about them. His reign was very short-lived. He didn't even get much time to make a quick turnaround at all. Some men's life are like that, isn't it? Short-lived. They reign for a short time. They are in charge for a short time. You know, the scripture tells us in Psalms 55 and verse 23, "But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." That's the tragedy. An early exit. A person thinks he can continue to do wrong and nothing will happen to him. God says, okay, I will show you how long you're going to survive. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 17 says, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should you die before your time?" Why should you die before your time? Now, looking at this, a person says, hey, but so many people are continuing to do wrong and continuing to live long. And so many people didn't do any wrong and they did and die young. You know, a wasted life is because of sin. A wasted life is because of sin. You may live a short life here on earth, but that life can be very productive. That is what is important in God's sight. You may live a long life seemingly, but you may live a wasted life. That is still in God's sight, a short life, useless life. I'm sure none of us wants to be remembered for a wasted life, isn't it? A wasted life. We must definitely be remembered for the life that we have lived to serve God. If you notice, this was Paul's desire. Like father, like son, he says, "Be imitators of me, just as I am also of Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. That should be our desire. that generations to come would follow the good legacy that we have set before them. So ask yourself, you know, whether it's your children, whether if you are a leader, the people who are, you know, under you, or anybody who is watching you, whether in your work spot, in your neighborhood, people are watching. What's the type of an impact that you are leaving around? What will they remember you for? That's a question we must ask ourselves. Some practical lessons from Nadav's life. Number one, learn from the mistakes of others. Now, 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 25 onwards tells us Nadab, son of Jeroboam, became king. Verse 26 tells us he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 27 spoke about how Baasha, son of Ahijah, plotted against him and struck him down. Verse 29 tells us, as soon as he began to reign, he killed Jeroboam's whole family. He did not leave Jeroboam anyone that breathed, but destroyed them all. And this happened because of the sins that Jeroboam had committed, he had caused Israel to commit, and because he aroused the anger of the Lord. Now, did Nadab had any warning? Yes, he did have very much a warning. We notice in 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 17 and 18, we learn about the death of his brother, who was called as Ahijah. Remember, we did that, you know, the last time, you know. Here his own brother, Jeroboam, sent his wife, you know, to the king, and to find out whether my son would survive. The prophet says, no, your son is going to die, because this is what God has said. Now, and it happened. Now, Nadab has seen that. He's seen that. Let me read that passage for you. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 17 and 18. Then Jeroboam's wife got up and left and went to Tirzah. As soon as she stepped over the threshold of the house, the boy died, and they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, just as the Lord had said through his servant, the prophet Ahijah. Here his own brother has, you know, the prophecy has been fulfilled. Jeroboam has seen that, he has not changed. Nadab has seen that, he has not changed. Learn from the mistakes of others. Things that you see happening, you know, people have fallen in sin, people have done wrong, you know, learn from their lives. Don't look at them and say, hey, look here, how bad. You know, don't look at them and say, hey, I'm good, that guy is bad. But remember, there for the grace of God, but for the grace of God go I. You know, you could also have done the same thing, you know, if it was not God's, for God's grace. So learn from that and make sure you don't do those same mistakes, you know. Learn from the mistakes of others. Jeroboam did not learn. Nadab did not learn. Did God show them lessons? Yes, he did show. But these guys were so hard-hearted. Ask yourself, are you learning from the life warnings of those around you? You know, things have happened to them, and you say, this has not happened to me, so it's okay. No, God has not allowed it to happen to you. Happened to them so that you can learn from their mistakes, learn from those lessons. Secondly, wrong living leads to shortened life. Wrong living leads to shortened life. Now, as we mentioned earlier, does that mean that a life that honors God leads to a long life? Not always. But it does mean that every minute that is lived will be a fuller minute. And living that dishonors God often causes us to do stupid things that shorten our lives. You know, if you look at individuals who came to know the Lord in the last years of their lives, but those last years were so much more productive for God. So, in that sense, they did live a long life. But there are others who right through life, you know, messed up. You know, they lived long, but they messed up their life. So that was not really, from God's perspective, a long life. So ask yourself, you know, are you looking for shortened life? Are you looking for a long life? Long life, the life that God gives to us, used best for His glory, even if it may be short from a chronological angle, becomes long from a spiritual angle. And finally, number three, live in such a way that people are affected by your death. You know, think for a moment, these people from the nation or from the northern kingdom, they were so unaffected by Nadab's death, you know, that after he died, who did they choose to become king? Baasha, who murdered that guy. You know, that is how it didn't bother them whatsoever to pick up the murderer of King Nadab to be the one who will be the next king. And he was definitely worse. He killed all of them as well. You know, we must live in such a way that people are affected by our death. Affected in terms of, you know, that they miss. Affected in terms of, we have laid such a, you know, strong impact, you know, that legacy continues on. Not to say, you know, I'm happy he's gone. That should not be the response. Ask ourselves this evening, you know, would we be like Nadab or Jeroboam? Or would we be like Moses, you know, his parents who laid a good legacy and he was able to stand firm? Let's ask ourselves, when the people around us are looking at us, what impact are we making on them? Making for eternity, remember. It is not just for a few short years here on earth, but it's an impact for all eternity. And let's treat that seriously. And every day that God gives to us, life that God gives to us, let us accept it with joy. Let us also accept it with the recognition that it may soon be over. So let's not waste life, but let's make the maximum use of each day that God gives to us for His glory. Let's bow our heads in prayer together.